Well, never have we done two shows in a row about musical theater, or two shows about theater in a row. But here we are again, this time with an aspiring Broadway musical set in the Klondike Gold Rush. Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. It's about to be staged in the intimate space of Cyrano's Off-Center Playhouse. Our statewide phone number, 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422, email talk@alaskapublic.org. Gold miners and good time girls today on Talk of Alaska statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by ConocoPhillips. The easy oil is gone, and getting to the remaining oil will be a challenge that will require the state and the industry to work together. ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Boy, howdy, and Lord knows what they'll say. So it's Gold Rush Girls, the musical. Well, of course, the book that Lael Morgan put together was actually Good Time Girls. Lael Morgan, I'm so happy to welcome you back.
It's great to be here. Nice to be home.
Did you have a good time last time?
Yes, I did have a good time and decided leaving Alaska for the 15th time for good was not enough.
And somehow this time you come back and you've dragged these two other people with you, or they've dragged you with them. I'm not entirely sure of it. But basically, we have a team here which has somehow conceived an entire musical based on your book.
Yes, I was spending my time in Maine, where I was born, and my former husband had gotten me to run a newspaper down there. And I met Carmo, who was working for him, and he was really thrilled with the Good Time Girls book. He thought it was the best thing he'd seen in a long time. And he showed it to Carmo, and Carmo was headed off to playwright school, right, Carmo?
I was just finishing up my master's degree in creative writing at BU, which is interesting because it was the 60s when I never went to when I dropped out of college in one semester and we started hitchhiking around the country. So I never went to college, and then I was invited in the master's at BU in playwriting, and I had just seen the cover. I didn't even read Lael's book. I saw the cover, and I was like, I said, oh, I know those ladies. And I got very inspired, started writing a scene at BU there, and Jerry was writing a song, and off we went. Then I finally got to read the book, and I went, oh, I really do know these ladies. I loved it. I fell in love immediately.
I guess, Lael, you got to know some people associated with this culture as time went on, yes?
I've known a lot of people associated with that culture from sort of the beginning of my life. And when I got to Fairbanks in about 1966, they were doing urban renewal up there, and the deeds to the red light district went right back to the first families. And I thought, what's this all about? And nobody much wanted to discuss the founding mothers of Fairbanks. So I just stuck with it and got better at interviewing people. It wasn't working to go up to say to someone, hey, I understand your grandmother lived on the line. You had to use a little more finesse.
Some people don't know what the line is.
Well, plus I was 31 years old and wearing miniskirt. Who wanted to talk to somebody who hadn't lived in Alaska
for
very long?
Wow, so this is before the pipeline.
Oh, gosh, yes. This is 65.
And then the pipeline hits.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the line's going again.
Nothing ever stopped in Fairbanks anyway.
I got in trouble for pointing that out one time.
Yeah, you can. But I discovered as I got a little more serious about the research that these gals were really pioneers. They were the first truly independent women. And that's what that book is all about. That's why my former husband, Dodge, loved it. And I think Carmo and Jerry, did that hit you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Well, yeah. And how long ago? This book came out a long time ago.
Yes, 98.
Yeah. So it's kind of, I still see it in the stores.
It's the regional bestseller here.
Yeah. It is indeed. And one, I imagine that like the cruise ship people and so forth, you know, kind of fascinated with, I would think.
Oh, I've done a lot of books, but this is the only one where if I do a signing, mostly women come to signings.
Uh-huh.
But if I do a signing for Good Time Girls, there'll be a batch of women, and then looking around the edge will be men. And when the women go away, they come and ask if I'll sign the book. So I think the musical's going to have pretty broad appeal, too.
Wow. Well, okay, it's time to introduce our guests that we've already been hearing from. Carmel Sanders, you're the playwright, and you've already kind of explained a little bit. And you live in Maine, right?
Yes, I'm from Maine and live in Maine.
And Jerry Sanders, you're the composer?
I am, yes.
You were in charge of the music for this.
I was and am, yes.
Wow. Well, now, I haven't seen it. It's in rehearsal. I would have liked to go on to a rehearsal, but I know you guys just got in the theater, and it would probably be unfair for me to, you know, try and even come to some kind of conclusion not having, you know, go into an early rehearsal when you're still working through the material. And I mean, this involves singing, for Pete's sake.
A lot of singing. There's 20 songs.
A lot of singing. Yeah, 20 songs. But I will say that I have had a chance to go through all the music, and it was fascinating. I don't know if it's art, but it might be just as much art as La Boheme that we were talking about last week. You know, and you know, you could say, well, what is? It's kind of up there, reminds me of Weber. It's sort of Weber-esque. Mm-hmm. And I would not consider Weber art. You know, Weber maybe, you know, 80 years from now, will go back and say, oh, Weber actually was a kind of folk art, but it's too early to say that right now. Mm. But this is this is a classy operation you guys have put together. I can't believe you're showing up in this little, in Anchorage, Alaska, at this little tiny bandbox theater. and putting on this production. I mean, where in the world does the chutzpah come from for this?
Well, you know, that little tiny bandbox theater has quite a few hits on its list and a good reputation for trying things that other people are afraid of or might think were too big. And Sandy Hopper has got a good nose for a good show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can't imagine. I mean, just given the nature of the music, and maybe a little bit despite the subject, this I can't imagine not coming to tears someplace in this production, Carmel.
Oh yeah, I mean, we've got everything. We have danger, excitement. We have dancing girls. We have a bar full of. There's love stories. There's a little mayhem and murder, and it's heartfelt. If it isn't heartfelt, we've done something very wrong. And if you can't walk out of there and read the program and see five songs and at least hum four of them, we've done something very wrong. And so, and we are working, I know, we're in this, like, here we are, but you should see our cast. They so believe in the material, and they so believe in us, and we so believe in them. We couldn't ask for more magic than we're finding in Anchorage. I swear.
That's true.
And then we've got Lael.
I'm catching the fever, too.
Lael's over there with her pom-poms cheering. So what can go wrong?
I had to talk to this woman for about 2 years to get her to even conceive there might be at least as much talent in Anchorage, Alaska, as there is in Portland, Maine. Wow. And I've been following theater here since 59. I know there's extraordinary performers in this town, and it's bigger than Portland.
You betcha.
And they are here, and
yeah,
they came out.
Great. Talent's great.
Well, I think this is the point at which to just simply diverge into one of the songs, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Can you tell me now, essentially, you've given us a music track. But where's the talent? Who are these people we're hearing? Is this you guys? Who is it that's singing it?
That's really funny. It's me.
In this recording, it's Carmel and her sisters and our daughter.
Daughter, Jerry, friend of ours, and two guys that are in the community.
Well, you
in
guys
Portland.
Obviously know what you're doing. I mean, what have you been doing up till now? That you got yourself so polished and professional
to be able to aspire to this.
We've written two other musicals, and, and we also, the last one we toured with and performed for 5 years.
Ah.
So we honed our skills dancing and singing and really getting the feel of the theater and knowing what, you know, ignites an audience and what songs hit and what songs don't. And so then when you go to the studio and you begin to create your own music for another one, you've got a little more behind you.
And when you tour also, you learn all the stuff about fitting into the various performance spaces that are available.
Well, you find out that anything that's going to work in a big space is going to work in a shoebox as well. You know, so you really want to make it so that whatever you present can be done sitting right here. And
really?
People will go, oh, that's great.
No, I'm really wishing I had got you to bring a keyboard in here.
That'd have been fun.
It would have been fun. But we have the next best thing. Here is the production. So this is what we're going to hear is this, like, performed by the cast, right, on the stage.
Yes, the cast will be performing what you're hearing on the CD.
Okay.
The CD was performed by Jerry and me and our daughter and my sister and some friends in our home studio.
Totally blows me away. Dave, let's hear a little bit of When You're With Me.
I'm no stranger to hard living. I know my whiskey and my gin. Gambling, second nature, well, so are boys and men. I'm no ordinary lady, I'm brazen, so I'm told. I love this dress, I love this flask, I love this tattoo on my ass. Good time girls built for love, sent to you from heaven above. Take a good look, like what you see. For just a little, you can have a lot of me.
Boy, give us a kiss.
Don't waste time or you'll regret what you missed.
Heaven awaits.
Gold is the key. See what an angel can do when she is flying high as a kite. Why don't you and me have a party tonight?
I'm a little innocent that you can adore. Your honey back home, the girl next door.
Buy me a drink, I'll show you my knees. A little more will get you what you please. Boys, just get in line.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to go home humming that or not. It's has a little bit of a period flavor to it, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. Your hummers are usually the ones that, well, in a sense, like the Weber tunes.
Uh-huh.
Or the tune, which for musical theater, you know, we sort of look to Rodgers and Hammerstein to really give us, you know, something to shoot for.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the other songs, you know, you'll find tunes and melodies that just really strike your ear.
Yeah. So what ideally would be the desired outcome? I mean, let's say that you pull this thing off in Anchorage. It's a West Coast premiere. So then the run ends. Then what?
Well, I mean, if I'm not shooting the moon, why am I, right? I have to shoot for the moon. You have to do what you do. It's not my fault. It's what I do best. And so my goal ultimately is Broadway. Yes, absolutely.
Really?
I have to. I have to at least shoot there. Why wouldn't I? And so the next step would be, we're thrilled to be up. We needed to get this show on its feet and see it on its feet. We've had workshop productions in equity houses. But in an equity theater, but for us, this is off Broadway, but we're up, and then hopefully we get some really good press and some really great reviews, and people love it, and my next step is a regional theater, maybe the Huntington in Boston, maybe La Jolla, whoever, a regional theater that will pick it up and do our next world premiere.
So what do you do? Do you, I mean, theoretically, I suppose you could get, like, somebody show up with a camera and you get some video and so forth off of this. And, but I mean, doesn't it still basically, I mean, the way that these theater companies work is there is word of mouth and reputation and all that, but eventually they, you know, they sit there with a stack of scripts and they read them.
They do. It's true.
And it's a lot about who you know.
I mean, it's who you know.
You make connections as you network, and we've done a number of readings in Boston. And So you make connections with these other theaters because, you know, if you've done this as long as we have, then you've made a connection with someone in a reading who's now a director of a theater, who at that time was maybe just a stage manager.
Yeah, it's kind of like the way the radio business works.
Well, there's two other things I think are important. These are East Coast guys. They'd never been to Alaska.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing just the final polish on this thing, because there's a long way between Maine and Alaska, and you can't live up here in Anchorage today and not get a real better feel for this show. It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think, too, that your connections are East Coast. Sandy Harper has West Coast connections. You've already gotten one very serious look at from West Coast on just rumors. Mm-hmm. And I think something magic is going to happen here.
Well, in Alaska, you just never know who's listening or who's watching or who's sitting in the next to you at the bar. I mean, that's kind of the way that works around here.
This is the first place I ever saw Willie Nelson. Steve McQueen got picked up for speeding on the main street down here. And
the whole history here of Steve McQueen.
toward the bush with Burl Ives. What can you say?
It is so. And some people like to come back, you know, over and over again. And McQueen did, for instance. And
no matter how many times he got arrested.
Oh, my. We can really get going on this now. You and me, Lael, we could definitely.
I think. Lael, no.
We could really get going. because the pipeline here in Alaska was sort of a rush in a way. It was a boom in a way. And there's still lots of archaeology to be done into that era. And there's still a lot of people still alive that would just as soon not be done.
And there were a lot of people who really dug it.
And then there are those that are dead as well. Yeah, it's Talk of Alaska, and we're talking about Gold Rush Girls, the musical, which will be staged in Anchorage coming up in just, a week or so?
July 27th.
Yeah, it's coming right down on us.
Oh, he's making us nervous.
We have Jerry and Carmo Sanders, and they're the people who made it. We have Lael Morgan, the journalist, researcher, and author of Good Time Girls. So the title was changed a little bit to make it a musical, but that's understandable. So Lael, I was so struck in our show that we did on Ray Mala that essentially by just simply persisting in following your curiosity and doing it with your own integrity and thoroughness, that you're really kind of a prospector.
Yes, I am.
That's a good way to put it.
No. The central metaphor is gold here. It's finding treasure. And you take basically the Eskimo movie star, right, that seems worth, an essay, and turn it into a book in which you have so much visual material that there's no way, it's way beyond what the book can hold. It ends up, we have a film festival of Ray Mala movies, and there's a whole Ray Mala culture now coming out of the research that you did of stuff that was largely forgotten about this Hollywood era and how minorities were treated and how Alaska was regarded and so forth. So much in there just by persisting.
And Good Time Girls and the Gold Rush is even more fun because it... It's still here.
Well, the way I look at it, I teach this in news writing. I say people are doing other things when they're listening to the radio. So you have to give them a signal that they should all of a sudden want to pay attention to what you're saying. And I said, I will give you five, six things here. All you have to do is bring them up, and I'll guarantee everybody's all of a sudden listen. And so you've got sex.
Yes.
That.
You've got death. You've got sudden riches. And then you've got the devil. and a cure for baldness. That's five right there. Okay. So you got 3 out of 5.
And then you just add music. Beautiful music.
Wait a minute. The cure for baldness, that is not part
just
of the plot.
Just add music.
Just add music. I think for me about Lael, I mean, as you said, she's a prospector. She's a miner. But when she gets, it's all about the human spirit, too.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, bottom line, that's what this is about, the courage to be free, which is why people came up here, not just for riches, but they were seeking personal freedom. They were seeking personal, and these women who are totally inspiring because they couldn't vote, own property, wear pants. If they could get here, they could own things. They owned this place. And so the spirit of the Klondike is personal freedom. And the excitement of that possibility and holding to your own passion.
You're absolutely right, because we've explored this theme, and much that has come out, that, you know, in various iterations of this program and people that I've talked to, and it's like getting that feel for our own history and our own heritage is really important. You know, rather than just whatever, like going through the motions and the mawkishness and not speaking ill of the dead and on and on and on of, you know, just one cliche after another, glossing over things that are, if we didn't gloss over them, we'd just look at the reality of them, are absolutely fascinating, where you learn a whole lot from.
I came up here from Boston in 59, and I went out hopping along 4th Avenue one night with a bunch of pile drivers and my husband, and came out of a bar at 2 in the morning. It was daylight. And I thought, what will Mother think? And then I thought, Mother is 5,000 miles away, and that's what this is all about. And in a way,
yeah,
that's what this is all about, too.
Yeah. So I'd like to invite our callers to Talk of Alaska at 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK, to talk with these interesting people, and your thoughts on the whole idea of glorifying, mythologizing, the gold rush, getting in touch with Alaska history and heritage, dimensions of our own cultural mass. The metaphor of seeking gold, or maybe the mining industry today, I don't really know, or prostitution today, or what exactly form does it take, and should it be legal, and so forth. So what do you think, Carmo? You think it should be legal?
Why not? I don't know. Everyone deserves a freedom. As Captain says, everyone deserves a freedom, seems to me. So, I don't know. That's a tricky. What? Of course.
Yeah.
Probably, yes. Why not? I mean, everyone is doing what we're doing, and yes.
I'm just trying to drum up.
You look at you. You're just, I need it.
Well, at the very least, it should be decriminalized.
Yes.
To be charged with a felony so you can never vote again because you dabbled in prostitution is pretty darn serious.
I agree.
Well, yes, people's reputations and so forth. Let's go to Joseph joins the program from Doesn't Say. Joseph, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Well, I'm here in Anchorage, but I was in Moscow with Lael Morgan.
Whoa.
Several years ago. And it's wonderful to hear your voice, and I'm looking forward to seeing this production. Will you be there?
Yes, Mr. Prince Yoder. I can't wait to meet you again.
Well, it's just marvelous to hear that this is coming to the stage. I, having read it, I can't imagine how you're going to do some of it on stage, but I'm looking forward.
They're not. That episode won't be in there.
It'll be in your imagination.
Lael, you've been away from Alaska for a while. You do quite a lot of traveling. You're going to be here for a bit?
I'm a resident again.
You are?
Yes.
I didn't know that. As I don't want to change the subject of the show, but having traveled with you, as we did on a rather interesting adventure to Moscow back in 66 for the centennial, we were interviewing folks there in Moscow about what they thought about the Alaska Purchase and whether Russia got a good deal or not.
Wow.
and I thank you.
Joe, I'm so glad you called. And I'm also glad you brought up Moscow, because my colleague, Corey Flintoff, that used to work here, has just been informed that he has got the Moscow Bureau job for National Public Radio.
Isn't that amazing, that the careers that that have started out here in different places? I had some wonderful opportunities that came from my coming to Alaska in 64, but having met Lael and having the two of us able to get to that trip is one of my peak life experiences. I'll be looking forward to seeing the show. Lael, I'm in the book. Call me if you can when you have a moment. I don't want to give my phone number over.
It's all right.
You'll
Nobody cares,
inundated.
Joe. You want to stay a little incognito, is that it, Joe?
No, well, all right, then. I'm.
No.
All right.
That's okay.
I want to be at least as adventurous as the Lael Morgan that I know so well. The risk taker, stories out on the Aleutian Islands that you have adventures. There's many shows that could be focused around the life and career of my good friend, Lael Morgan.
That will be my next musical.
All right.
Lael Morgan, the musical. Tell us about the Tundra Times, Lael. 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK. A local call from Anchorage at 550-8422. Email talk at alaskapublic.org. I'm only half kidding about that Tundra Times. You know, I mean, it's a whole other show. I don't want to broach it right now because it would never end. And pretty soon, you think you'd get kudos from Joe Princiota. I mean, just wait till they start on the Tundra Times and Lael, man.
I don't know, there were times when you didn't turn your back to the door in those days, you know.
Well, yeah. But I want to continue on this because I haven't actually seen it. I read a little précis of the plot. But it seems to me, Carmo, that you, along with having sort of a love story and kind of a drama and almost a melodrama at times, that you, and in a lot of color, it would appear that you like the color of it. But you also metaphorically are working this gold quite a lot.
Yes.
And Jerry, too. Hmm.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit. You know, because it shows up over and over again. Of course, the prospectors are looking for gold, but it even in, and of course, is driving the plot.
Well, the whole thing takes place in one day. The whole plot takes place in one day, and I feel like when you're on an adventure like the Klondike was, a month was worth 2 years. You know, so one day, a lifetime could happen in one day, and. Of course, there's a metaphor of gold. I mean, gold is you find love, it's gold. You know, if you find yourself, if you have a nature of yourself, it's gold. Gold
sort of
is
the purpose of any plot is to find out, you know, what's worth living for, what's really precious, and that's the lesson in the drama. You know, everybody's human drama, and in this one, it's no different. Each song and each scene, really. Is trying to find out what's most important to each human being there and how they're interacting and sometimes coming into conflict with I want this, you want that, and both very, very important to both of us. So that's the drama, finding the preciousness.
So how much challenge would you say is for the singing and how much is for the acting?
Oh. I'd say it's 50-50.
Really?
Yeah, probably 50-50.
Yeah.
But I mean, the course in a musical, you have to have the story has to advance through the music.
Yeah.
So.
Do you like Bollywood?
Bollywood.
I'm serious.
Yes, a little bit. I do like Bollywood a little bit.
Woody Allen started this thing, which you know, where they just the plot's going along, and all of a sudden they burst into a song.
Yeah.
You
know, right.
Everybody in the entire scene, and that's Bollywood does it all the time. Everybody all around you, all of a sudden part of the song. You know.
I know.
Well, it's what sells.
Well, one thing I think we've done differently, which is fun, is that everybody, because it happens in one day, everyone is on stage. The miners stay on stage. Everyone's on stage.
Wow.
So the conversations are and the they do burst into song, but it's because of something. Mm-hmm. And the men are singing as well. It's not like the male.
They can actually sing their letters.
Well, now with Rodgers and Hammerstein, you can actually, I feel a song coming on.
Yes, you can.
Absolutely.
You can.
Absolutely.
1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. Email talk@alaskapublic.org as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from BP, supporting public broadcasting in Alaska.
When you've made the decision to stop smoking, whether you've tried to quit before or it's the very first time, there are free and confidential resources available proven successful in helping you quit for good. Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line offers nicotine replacement therapy, confidential counseling, and support services. Because everyone is different, trained quit coaches will tailor a quit plan just for you. For more information, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW or visit alaskaquitline.com.
And you just don't give up. You just keep looking for that gold. It's Talk of Alaska. We're kind of getting metaphorical today. It's the second week in a row that we've been talking about musical theater and kind of exploring some of those metaphors and so forth. Last time around, it was Puccini's La Boheme that was performed in Fairbanks, two performances, and I guess it went extremely well. This time, we've got four senior citizens sitting in the room here, and I can't believe that we all have the energy to be doing what we're doing. I mean, who the hell do we think we are? We're all supposed to be retired now. And we're having more fun than should be legal. I mean, it's really pretty crazy. We've got Carmo and Jerry Sanders. Carmo has written the play based on Leo Morgan's Good Time Girls, Gold Rush Girls, the musical. And Jerry wrote the music, and the songs are damn good. So I wonder, Jerry, if you could maybe kind of set this song up.
Sit yourself down. Well, every good drama needs a villain, and this is the entrance of the villain. The duet is done by Lily and Barker. Lily is, she's a sexy girl. And she's looking for her big break. And Barker is no ordinary villain. He comes in and it feels like he's everybody's friend. And she feels like, oh, this could be my guy. So when the song sets up, it's like, oh, I think you've heard of me. Oh, yes, I think I have. So he's plying her and she is starting to smile and say, okay.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to pick this song, because it's got its own little plot going on, you know, because mm-hmm. it starts out with she's playing him, and you can hear, oh, wait a minute, he's playing her.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll just listen to the whole thing here.
Okay.
All right, go for it.
You've heard of me.
Who hasn't heard an angel singing like a bird?
An actress.
So the story goes, and a dancer.
Always on my toes. Let's take some time. I'll introduce you to paradise.
Miss LaPierre, lest I forget, I grabbed your package slightly wet. Thought you might be wanting
my
this.
My dress.
Overboard, not once but twice, I snatched it from the river's ice.
Oh, what I would have missed, my hero doth deserve a kiss. A gentleman with taste refined, with appetite for things divine. Sit yourself down, have a drink here, sweetie. You're cold as ice, oh, your hands are freezing. I've got a place for those hands, ask any man. Come on in. I'll show you heaven, take my advice. You'll get paradise and all the little niceties. I'll reveal the bodice of a real live goddess. Nothing like you've ever seen before. We're two of a kind.
You think?
I think you're something special. Want something to drink?
A drink I think would be delightful.
Now is the time to introduce you to paradise. Come a little closer, get a whiff of heaven.
Smells nice.
Just like jasmine in a summer rain. Let me take you where the fire is hot.
I'm listening.
I'll sing and dance and show you what I've got.
You're glistening.
A star on the stage. I'm gonna be all the rage.
Big plans.
Big plans with chandeliers and diamonds everywhere.
I see you.
I'm center stage. This age will never know another one like me. You'll see.
I detect the bodice of a real live goddess. I can see you want a little something.
Honey, a girl always wants a little something more.
A little bit of this.
For a little bit of that.
Could be what I'm looking for.
Come on in and get a little glimpse of heaven. Don't think twice. Let's share paradise. We'll have the niceties that heaven brings.
I think you want a lot of something.
And you want a lot of something, too.
I do.
See, that alone is worth the price of admission.
Well, thank you.
Just to watch actors go through that.
Mm-hmm.
That's gotta, and we're just getting started with the characters and how things are going to develop in the plot here.
Right.
Mm.
And we have some great anthems, too, and some wonderful ballads.
Well, of course, we have this huge chorus. You know, we have a whole barroom full of people. So sometimes we have to actually pull ourselves back because it just rocks the rafters.
Uh-huh. Well,
we're rocking Cyrano's rafters. Yeah.
They're close by.
Yes, they are. When the girls get up on the bar, we have to go, whoops, okay, let's lower a little bit.
Leo Morgan, you remember... you have to remember when, and they still talk about it. All you have to do is go out the side door of Cyrano's there, and there you are, on Third Avenue.
Well, when I tried to talk these people into coming up and joining us and entertaining us for this summer,
This is right on location.
But as Jerry said the other night, the audience they're in it, actually.
Yeah.
Explain that maybe to people who haven't been there, Jerry.
You sit on three sides of the stage, very close to the floor, so when I'm watching rehearsals, I go from seat to seat. I go all around. And especially when I'm sitting on the sides, I feel like I'm right in the scene with people, you know, and you're very close because there's so many people on stage. You feel like you're in the bar.
Right.
It's a great feeling.
And is it... Can you stage it in such a way that the actors are addressing one another and because that can be really clumsy in that three-sided theater who do I play to?
Well, it's something that both the actors, the directors, the writers, everyone's watching and really trying to make it so that, one thing we've learned is that sometimes the best address directly to someone is to face away. Because your audience has to lean forward to get in the scene. And so we've learned a lot of things about making that accessible.
Wow.
And we have a great director, Ed.
Ed Bourgeois, yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's great. And he's also in the show.
Wow.
He's our bad guy.
He's great, too.
And he's an opera kind of guy, too.
He is.
Yeah, yeah. We couldn't have had a better director. He's really great. And our musical director, Dan McElrath, a very well-known jazz pianist, is... he's really the icing on the cake for me as being a musician because he's just brought so much depth to the music. And
So how long have you been here? How long are you going to stay?
Been here for about 3 weeks, haven't we?
We came June 28th, and we leave July 31st.
Wow.
So we'll have been here a month.
And that's been really, really a treat because I do think we've gotten bit with the Alaska bug. I hated when I heard Lil was moving back up here. I was like, no. And now I understand. We've been lucky to live here a minute.
Yeah, we saw the mountains on the horizon this morning. The beautiful snow-capped mountains. It was like, oh, my God.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's intense.
Well, you know what they say about Anchorage. It's not far from Alaska.
Yeah, they told us we were going to Los Anchorage.
Well, I want to, there's so many different directions to go, and I think I'll try and get two of them in here. Back to you, Leo, for a moment. Maybe you can tell us a good time girl story.
Well, one thing I'm pretty happy about, I met a working good time girl during the pipeline. She was a Fairbanks girl, and but her cousin was very high in the government, and she wanted to go into management, and she thought perhaps Alaska was not a good place to go. So she left her state and did well in California until Schwarzenegger started giving out IOUs to government employees when California went broke. And then if you're running a house of ill fame, you don't really want to take IOUs, even if they're government, right? So she, like myself, has come home. She has a branch office up here up near the gold mine in Fairbanks. And she's going to come and see the show. So we think we're going to have a really good critic. And she's going to bring a couple of her workers.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to have some professionals in the audience. And
you heard it first here, folks. So I could just see people go, they not only watch the show, they watch the audience.
Trying to pick them out. Yeah. So which one?
So now and the next thing is we have Hooker Night, where everybody dresses like including the guys.
Hooker Night. I like the sounds of that.
That would be a good title for another musical. 1-800-478-8255.
Please stop us with a phone call before we get totally out of control here. 478-TALK. A local call from Anchorage at 550-8422. Talk at alaskapublic.org. We're talking about the Gold Rush, musical theater. We got Carmo and Jerry Sanders here, and we got Leo Morgan, who has moved back to Alaska, which, according to one of our callers, is real good news for Alaska.
When I first started talking about prostitutes and giving talks, the very first one, I was auditioning for the Humanities Forum to become part of the Speakers Bureau. I wanted to get around the state and finish a little more research. And one of the people who heard me talking about prostitutes at that luncheon got so angry she threw a dinner roll at me. And she said that I was talking about sex just to spark prurient interest. And I didn't know what prurient interest was, but I looked it up, and it wasn't good. So then I went back to the drawing board, and when I finally looked at the economics of what made those gals go into prostitution, because we had a lot of amateurs up here. You come up with a husband or father or your brother, he falls in the river and doesn't make it out. The cost of living in Dawson was $6 a day, and the most a woman could make was $5. And you could marry, because men far outnumbered the women, but if you married, you lost all your rights. You couldn't even will your earrings to your sister, because both you and your earrings belong to your husband. So a number of women took this job on because they didn't have very many alternatives. And I think for people who want to throw dinner rolls at people who discuss this subject, you need to look at how this particular Gold Rush and how these gals got employed in the first place.
Yeah. Well, I think so. I mean, it's just, I think it's an era it just begs to be romanticized, you know?
It does. And the music, I mean, I love ragtime, and we seldom hear it.
Right.
You know, it's just like, I didn't realize I was so thirsty for something.
You know, I was thinking about this because, you know, Kitty Wells just died at the age of 92. And, you know, I'm sort of become known as some of an ethnomusicologist just for being in radio for 50 years. But, you know, Kitty Wells was the first female country music star. And the sound, it's a folk thing. It's a folk thing. And we are so, caught up in mythology and don't find the real person in there. And poor old Kitty, you know, now we're going to have all the obituaries and we're going to hear about, you know, Jimmy and Johnny and realizing that there was money in Marion Deason becoming, if we could find a better name for her, so we'll call her Kitty and put an apron on her and keep her in the kitchen and see if we can make a star out of that. Mm. And they did that. So then it was a good while before Loretta Lynn came along and started doing songs about women having other dimensions, and then Tammy Wynette. Mm. A good long time. And sometimes you have to use all the means at your hands in order to really explore your heritage. As Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from this APRN member station.
Do you know a nonprofit executive or tribal leader who is at risk for job burnout? We'll nominate them for a Rasmussen Foundation sabbatical, which provides paid time away for personal renewal and growth. Go to Rasmussen.org for more information, but don't wait. Nominees must complete an application by October. This message sponsored by the Rasmussen Foundation. Avtech is recruiting rural Alaskans for computer and network training with no cost tuition for qualified applicants. For more about the Village Internet Agent Program, call 1-800-478-5389. This message sponsored by Avtech, Alaska's Institute of Technology.
Gold Rush Girls, the musical, is coming to Cyrano's. And it's a Broadway type of musical based on the Gold Rush. It's got a lot of songs in it. It's like got girls in it. And we played a couple of songs so far. And we have the creators, basically, Leo Morgan, who wrote Good Time Girls years ago. Carmel Sanders, the playwright, and Jerry Sanders, composer. And all three of these people have lived in Maine. Leo's moving back to Alaska, where she's lived. She left Alaska 5 or 6 times, maybe more. And you two, I want to hear a story about barnstorming here. I call it barnstorming, but touring. You know, when you've got a production, and you're touring it, and that's you've cut your teeth. I mean, Carmel, you told us your story a little bit. Said you know, I decided I was going to go out hitchhiking and find out about the world, so I dropped out of college and I came back and I decided to get an MFA, I guess it would be. And
a master's, yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, it was sort of accidental that I got invited there.
You decided you were going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so
well, I used to be an actress.
That's your story. Yeah. That's your story. So now you've got, so the two of you are working together. I want to hear what the play was, and I want to hear where it went and what it was like.
Oh, the last play we did, Radical Radio. You'd be interested. This was a giant, almost like a hot air balloon radio that we would blow up in big theaters, and had a giant dial on it that spun with lights and everything. And if you got the Weather Channel, the whole thing would explode with thunder and lightning. But if you got a country western, you know, we'd come out as cowboys, cowgirls, and we'd do our own original country music, and then it might spin and you'd get heavy metal. We'd come out and scream it out. We had a great time. I mean, it was wonderful to be able to cover all genres, talk radio, comedy, everything.
So the both of you like being on stage.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible. In rehearsals, we can't stay off.
They're trying to tie us in the chair.
Yeah, they threaten to handcuff us to the chair.
I don't know if you... personally, I can't imagine being a playwright without being an actress.
Really?
And I need to know how to design a set, how to design my lights, how to build a set, I have to know the whole thing. And as an actor, you know what an actor hates on stage. You hate to be left without something to do. So it's like as a playwright, it's my job to know the entire scope of, it's my job.
I guess that is really hard to, whatever, like all you can really do is wherever the action is. You're standing on the stage. Actually, there's going to be a lot of this in this play. You just have to put your eyes and your attention and your gesture toward whoever everybody's supposed to be looking at in the audience. They try to hold it.
They know what they're doing. And it's well written enough. Eh? Everybody knows where they're going, what's coming and going. And the audience is, the audience will be hard pressed to not keep track of what's happening.
Well, I would think so. Yeah. It's rather a vivid plot. I can see that. Yeah. And we do have catastrophe and mayhem, and not to mention the salacious details. I'm not sure how far you're going to go with those.
Well, we make our way around it.
Yeah. Well, you've
got to get beyond the garter, though. I'm sure of it.
Well, yes, and there is a scene where you're getting beyond the garter. But basically, it's, you know, in finding a love interest for a prostitute, a romantic love interest, mm-hmm. when that's her business, and yet something's happening, which happens all the time, really, but putting it on stage and finding that innocence amidst that circumstance was a real challenge, but we think we found it.
In
a really sweet, innocent love scene.
Yes. I think you're exactly right. I think you're talking about find, because you could imagine, but you actually have to find.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not R-rated. It's not an R-rated musical. No.
So it's X.
Oh, he gets all perked up. No.
You betcha. Let's go to Sue, joins the program from Nome. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Sue.
Thank you all. I'm calling from Nome, a place that certainly knows how to romanticize the gold rush, but also, as we're going through another one 100 years later, see some of the negatives that come along with it. And I don't mean to be being a cold water on the fun, but I am wondering if in Lael's research and in storytelling, if there has been a darker side to the prostitution associated with the gold rush as well.
Oh, wow. Like, you even have to ask?
Well, one reason I did the book is because all we've seen is the darker side. I just did a book similar in Montana, and a researcher there spent an extraordinary amount of time researching Helena and the red light district. She got the bank records, she got the death records, she got the health records, she went to the grounds, burial grounds, she read the newspapers. And there is this stereotype that all gals who went into that trade died horribly, became addicted. We're not finding that in the statistics. Suicides in Helena, Montana over a 20-year period, there were two of prostitutes on that line, far more among men. She has taken on a number of the naysayers and saying it wasn't all that grim. And my own research shows these women generally got into the trade for 3 or 4 years, or like Fairbanks, married in with successful miners. So, there's a downside, but we've heard about that and heard about that and heard about that. And I think we need a little balance here.
Yeah, and Sue, I would say the play doesn't really shy away from that. I mean, I some of the dialogue in the songs, you hear it.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, no, that's encouraging. Maybe it's because in Nome we do tend to romanticize it, that my thinking is that I'm hearing that I'm not hearing enough of the downside, but obviously there was plenty, and it's been out there, and I'm glad to hear both sides.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, there is a lot of darkness in this play, actually, but it has to do more with the repression of the human spirit, and I think that even for the prostitutes, and for the reason they went up there, to have your spirit repressed or to be boxed about, that's going to happen. But we're also going to show the redemption of the spirit, which, you know, takes it on the chin, so to speak, but then steps right back up and says, you know, I won't be knocked down. You can burn down my house, but I'll build it again. You know, this is the kind of person I am. And we're really making statements from the women saying, we're as good, this comes right from the music, we're as good as any man. We deserve to hold the gold here in our hand. You know, if you burn down my house, I'll build it again. So whatever you want to do, bring it on, because I'm a woman of the world and I can take it. And that's what really drew us to these women. You know, these are strong, really wonderful women.
Sue, what a great point to bring up. I'm glad you had the guts to call and bring up the subject. And I want to say this, in terms of like constructing a drama, if you think of trying to portray on the stage all the abuse that in that profession a person might have, and then for love to find its way through all that, there's a lot of drama in there.
I look forward to seeing the play.
I hope you come.
Thank you.
Aunt Sarah knows. I would. It's going to be a really remarkable. I mean, you just don't get this very often. I mean, you guys have whatever the unrealisticness or whatever you want to call it, the vision or the self-assurance of whatever to want to go ahead with this. It's complete madness. It's totally uneconomical. It's
thanks. You're
way out on a limb.
But Steve, it's also timely. We've got one of the biggest gold mines in the world going in Fairbanks right now. The shift's right around the clock. Noam, I'm sure Sue has seen the downside because she's living it up there. The dredges are going again, and people are mining.
They are going again.
Yeah.
Way offshore. Yeah.
Right. So it's got its moment right now.
And as far as musicals go, there are a lot of revivals. I mean, I have to believe that. I mean, it's time for a new musical that has everything you want in it and can kick.
Yeah.
It's kicky. And there's a lot of revivals. It takes a lot to write a Broadway-style musical.
One thing I noticed in this and appreciate, and also I think gives it a certain flavor that probably, from my experiences, catches on with the younger demographic, it has a Celtic turn to it here and there. Mm-hmm. It's just you can hear the Celtic background of some of these miners sometimes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In these songs, and maybe it's just your main accent. I don't know.
No, there's a particular song that has the Celtic and the captain, Ronan McNally. You know, he brings
McNally.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he brings that. He sings a song, you know, about the party. You know, I hate to say goodnight because you know I just need one more kiss. You know, I can't leave.
I can't leave.
I can't leave.
Well, I want to thank you all for playing along here. I'm sure it was a more than you asked, more than you bargained for.
It's been great.
Much more fun than we thought.
Thank you. Right.
We appreciate your interest.
All right, yes. Lil. Thank you so much. It's Gold Rush Girls, the musical. It's coming up to Cyrano's Playhouse. I did want to mention that Carl Castle of National Public Radio is coming to town this weekend. And on Monday night, I get to go to the Wendy Williamson Auditorium and have a conversation. So it's two over-the-hill radio news guys who don't even know what the words are that they're saying, and they're going to have a conversation about this, and somehow an auditorium full of people is going to turn up for this. Thanks so much to Dave Waldron and Ish Strever. I'm Steve Heimel.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by Providence Imaging Center with Drs. Scott Nespinski and Christopher Reed, providing interpretations of imaging studies with a focus on musculoskeletal radiology, provimaging.com. And by First National Bank Alaska, offering business solutions to help Alaska's dreams grow for 90 years. On the web at fnbalaska.com, an equal housing lender, member FDIC. This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.